Let's just take our southern border, for example. You would think anybody coming to this country would welcome the idea of freedom and liberty and all that, and that everybody would have a perfect ideal of wanting to come to this country. Well, that's not true. So we need to be situationally aware that there are bad players entering our southern border, and they have very nefarious things in mind. And so, you know, as we go down and as we gain more information, our situational awareness should increase to where maybe we're going to limit our exposure to certain public events and certain public gatherings at some point based upon perceived threat, and making decisions based upon the gaining of that information. So if there's a lot of people in this country that still haven't woken up, and they think, you know, they're still worried about who won the basketball game or who's in what place in the American or National League, having no clue that we have people penetrating our southern borders with evil intent that is going to take place. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Experience the groundbreaking advancements of Leela's quantum technology, now backed by over 40 placebo-controlled studies conducted by elite institutions and renowned universities worldwide. This revolutionary technology surpasses previous achievements, as confirmed by prestigious organizations such as the Emoto Institute in Japan. Scientific investigations reveal that Leela's technology not only enhances blood health and circulation, but also neutralizes the adverse effects of electromagnetic fields, expedites wound healing, and elevates ATP production in human cells. Embrace the extraordinary benefits of Leela's tech as recognized and utilized by world-class athletes, esteemed functional medicine practitioners, and leading figures in the field of biohacking. Explore a range of transformative products from the Heal capsule, shielding you from harmful EMFs, to the Quantum Block, allowing you to infuse frequencies into your cherished possessions. Dive into the realm of innovation and wellness at sarahwestall.com/shop or by following the link below. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Jeff Nicholas coming to the program. He's really an interesting person. He was a special ops for the military working on the eradication of the poppy seed in Afghanistan. Plus, he was a pilot for over 12 years working on operations such as what you saw in the Black Hawk Down movie. And so we're going to talk about that. He was one of the key people that inspired that movie. He can't talk completely open on things. So he's going to talk about what the public already knows and also give you some insight that maybe you don't know and his perspective. And then he's able to talk more about operations that he sees after he exited the military based on his knowledge of what he saw in the military, what do you think happened with Afghanistan afterwards, and maybe some of the theories on, you know, why that operation occurred. And it probably wasn't what it appeared to be, and surely not what the mass media was presenting. And then he talks about the importance of operational awareness, especially in this fifth generation war that we're dealing with, this crazy situation that we're all watching, and how you need to be situationally aware. And I compare that to this docuseries that I'm doing on mind control and fifth generation warfare, and how important it is to be situationally aware and understand what's really going on in today's world. And to that point, the fifth generation warfare mind control series, the docuseries that I have that's airing on Brighteon University, you can sign up for it today at brightu.com. And I'm going to play the full trailer here after this intro before we get into the interview. And the link will be below so you can sign up for that. And hopefully you do. It has been a labor of love for the last 4 months of my life. So we look at it from all different perspectives. You'll see in the trailer, it's very intensive. And that really just covers the surface, really, of all the different disciplines involved. But hopefully it gives you an idea of more of what we're dealing with. And to zoom out, the reason people ask me, why did you do this, Sarah? And I got to tell you, it's because I was watching, you know, the mainstream media is absolutely horrible, as everybody knows. They're worthless as a source of information. And then the independent media, everybody's been bouncing around covering all these psyops instead of what's really going on. And I had to zoom out and go, wait a minute, we are dealing with a bigger issue here. And I felt that way at the beginning of COVID. That's why I did my first mini documentary. Anything that's less than 30 minutes long, I call a mini documentary. And it was on mind control and mind war, which is essentially fifth generation warfare. I just didn't call it that. And it was because I was just watching this whole manipulation go on. And I was tired of watching everybody being just whipped around based on psyops instead of zooming out and being more situationally aware. And that's what he's going to talk about a little bit. And this is my attempt of being situationally aware of what it is that we're actually dealing with. You can't win a war. You can't effectively do things if you're just being bounced around based on psyops. That's what they want you to do. You need to zoom out and go, okay, what is really going on here? And we need to be smarter in the way that we deal with things. So I'm going to play that trailer, and the link again is below so that you can sign up. But we also get into his business. He has been involved in, he doesn't like to call it directed energy weapons. What he does, he calls it, I don't know what he calls it. He calls it devices that help calm down aggressive people. And he works with police and correctional facilities and other institutions that work in dangerous environments so that you can calm down somebody very quickly without harming them. You don't need to kill him. You don't need to shoot him. And he's going to talk about that. And so that's a really good example of how this new technology can be used in a very pro-human positive way. And he's going to talk about that and how they're implementing. It's a fantastic discussion on that as well. If you want to learn more about what he's doing, you can go to his website, which is just compliant.net. And the link is below for that as well. Okay, here is the trailer for the fifth generation warfare. And following that will be my interview with Jeff Nicklaus.
I grew up believing that NSA was not allowed to collect data on Americans. It was supposed to be outwardly focused on our foreign enemies, and you're saying that that's been perverted for many years.
Yes, since 2001.
Fifth generation warfare is something that we're dealing with right now. We are in the middle of a war, and it is not a conventional war. Conventional war is where they are trying to take out military forces for a narrow political agenda. This is a war to control you and to control your mind.
Fifth generation warfare takes place in the human domain, and the human domain is characterized by social relationships, by narratives, by culture, and by values, and also perception. Those are the things that you're trying to manipulate.
There's been a transformation in technology since the mid-90s, and especially in the last, I'd say, 14 years. The technology was worked on at least since 2010, if we look at in the Internet of Bodies, Internet of Things, Internet of Nano Things, says. They were working on this technology to be able to have a pervasive system that is able to wirelessly track everything in the environment, including the activities of people.
So right now, anytime you see some kind of movement, some kind of explosion, some kind of event that happens where it's people going after each other like this, I can tell you right now that is being fomented by actors who are put in there, by media that's in there to actually push out a certain narrative. And it's 100% a false flag today. Absolutely.
Very important to know that a lot of the people who were involved in the founding of Tavistock were Fabian socialists. So, of course, like Lord Rothmere, the Daily Mail. And so there were all sorts of ties to Fabian socialists.
The sole purpose of Tavistock then and now is to devise methods of mind control to socially engineer the masses into subservience and ultimately slavery. And they want to slowly brainwash the world. So Tavistock might sound like a very abstract, like, what is Tavistock, right? But they were referred to as the lie factory, and they've permeated throughout the ages.
The Nazis had this down. They used to brag and say, well, if you tell a big enough lie often enough, the people will come to believe it. Well, that's exactly the principle that's behind confirmation bias. It works both ways. Tell the truth often enough, people come to believe it. Tell a lie often enough, people come to believe it. So what the mainstream media does is they lie about their lies, and they censor out of existence people in the social media who will not go along with the lie about the lies.
So it was the psyops that got him to do what he did. The people at the Space Force and the CIA could have stopped the bloodshed. They could have disabled him when he was going to shoot, but they chose not to because they want the narrative against the Second Amendment.
This is an anomaly. It's typically done computer-generated voice. So you've seen how some of these ChatGPT type conversation bots can just generate conversation based on a few inputs, and that tends to be the majority of the people.
This is the problem with studying Havana syndrome. How are you going to produce control? If you are not in the possession of the weapon or weapon systems, you can't produce the control. You don't know if right now you're under attack or not. It's only subjective that I feel when the attack starts and the vibration, the thump or the buffeting is ramping up. I know that there's an attack coming.
Because let me talk about the details. First of all, we already talked about the fact that human beings are being studied to be batteries. There's patents that are out to use human beings for processing power and for batteries. We are also being used for storage devices, right? I already showed you a JPEG clip on a piece of bacteria. It's now. It's not futuristic. It's not experimental. Those are capabilities now that are already being deployed in military operations.
Standing up and opposing this and making it clear that we the people do not care to have anyone messing around with our constitutional rights like the current governments are doing. Why, we're going to lose it. And when Ben Franklin was asked, what did you make? And he said, we made a republic if you can keep it. Well, can we keep it? That's the real question, and that's the question that we're facing right now.
Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really glad that you're here. We have a lot to talk about, and you have an amazing background and a lot of experience in the military and special ops that could, and you have a company which is doing safer, weaponry for the police force. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, but I really want to talk about your special ops background and then get into some of these other things. Can you talk about what you did while you were in the military?
Well, I can talk a little bit about what I did. I retired back in 2007 or at the end of 2006. So I'm not going to really have any, useful information for today's, environment, but, I did 20 years in the Army. I flew helicopters. I was part of an organization called the 160th, otherwise known as the Night Stalkers. And, we did different operations around the world. You know, the one that people would recognize most is Somali Operation Gothic Serpent, which, that operation is what inspired the book and movie Black Hawk Down. In that particular mission, I was the pilot in command, call sign Super 6-7, which was one of the Blackhawks used in the Ranger Blocking Force. I did 16 of my 20 years at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, finished up in Savannah, Georgia, retired, and went to work for the State Department after that as a contractor, working the poppy eradication program. But I will tell you that I feel very blessed that I had a career of flying for 35 years and got to run around the world. We used to say high speed, low drag, and got to do and see a lot of things.
Yeah, you did. And I know we talked a little bit about this. I want to talk about the poppy eradication program, because you saw some things that were pretty interesting. While you were trying to get rid of it, there are other elements that were trying to make sure it stayed intact. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I can talk to it from a limited scope based upon what I saw, but it seemed to me a lot of times, like anytime you go into a theater of operation, there's a lot of different things going on in the background and behind the scenes that you're not privy to. You know, our goal was to eradicate the poppy fields and that drug trade. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was the Afghan government that was really kind of in charge, and we were there to kind of help them. Well, you would see when we provided overhead cover for those forces, and you would see where they would take these ATVs with these bars, because all you really had to do is break the stem of the poppy plant and would die. And you would see them kind of leapfrog over different farms and stuff like that, depending on the ability of that farmer to pay off the Afghani forces. So we didn't, at the end of the day, we didn't eradicate. It was called an eradication program, but it wasn't an eradication program, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because a lot of the Afghan government was paid off and to skip these farms. And where did the money come from? Obviously, it was from the drug dealing, because there was so much money behind this.
If you look at, you know, there's all kind of speculation about who was the money and the people behind the drug lords that ran that place. But I will tell you, this is one of the stories that I had heard. Regardless of who was backing them and why, I think it was pretty nefarious, not good players. But at the State Department, started some programs where they would, a farmer could, instead of grow poppy, they could grow, I don't know, pick a crop. Oats or wheat or something like that. And, you know, you would have a, you know, when the forces left, the drug lords would come back in and say, hey, are you going to grow poppy for me this year? And he said, well, we just signed up for this, this government program to grow wheat. Well, do you want me to chop your loved one up in front of you now, or wait, you know, we'd come back later and do it, and or take your children and sell them into slavery and come in and strong arm people? And so the farmers would ultimately say, well, I guess I'm going to grow poppy. And, you know, the problem with that scenario I talked about at the very beginning was, if the farmer didn't have enough money to pay off the Afghan forces, then that drug lord is coming back to collect that gumball from the poppy. And if they didn't have that gumball to collect, then a lot of times they would take their children, or they'd kill a family member, or a combination of things. And you know, you would basically see that person's life go before their eyes. So hope and prosperity and a way of life and all that, it was so foreign. I mean, they were just lucky to survive. And a lot of it was problematic just due to the corruption. And that's true no matter where you go in the world. The corruption is the killer. The greed is the killer. The power and the control is the killer for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, no matter where you go in this world.
Yes, I would agree with that. So when you saw Afghanistan fall, when you saw this whole situation where we pulled out in that haphazard way, what was going through your mind?
What went through my mind is, it's too stupid to be stupid. You know, I don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but what the people that we had in charge are not that derelict that they would not evacuate all the people first and then slowly evacuate equipment and forces to where they made an orderly withdrawal, right? There was a plan. And I would tell people this. I said, if it looks like an op and smells like an op and walks like an op, it's an op. There's something going on. I tell people, do not listen to any mainstream media. I don't That's care right. what brand it is. Get off of it. Get on social or get on, you know, alternative media like you and other people that are telling the truth tellers out there, trying to make sense of what is going on in a very chaotic and messy world right now.
Are you ready to take control of your health in today's toxic world? Look no further. Masterpiece is here, setting the gold standard for holistic detoxification. Masterpiece, the natural master binder, features nanosized zeolites combined with marine plasma nutrition. And here's the groundbreaking news. In initial trial results, users have experienced an astonishing 70% removal of toxins after just 60 days of use. Say goodbye to forever chemicals and heavy metals. Masterpiece is a game changer, efficiently capturing graphene oxide, arsenic, mercury, and over 85 other heavy metals. Not to mention, it tackles forever chemicals like microplastics and PFAS, a group of over 4,700 man-made chemicals lurking in everyday products. Users are reporting incredible benefits: more energy, heightened mental clarity, and better sleep. One user happily exclaimed, "The mental fog is just gone." And the best part, Masterpiece is affordable. For just $52.99, you get a two-month supply that can transform your life. Visit sarahwessel.com under shop or click the link below to grab yours today. Don't keep this breakthrough to yourself. Spread the word to family and friends. Masterpiece is not just a product, it's a life changer. Act fast and get yours today at sarahwessel.com or with the link below. Yeah, it was an app. Do you have any theories on what it was that they're actually trying to do? I mean, it was so, because I met somebody, just a waitress in the restaurant serving us breakfast, who had family members still in Afghanistan, and she was just solemn and saying it's like a killing field. She's like, people were getting slaughtered on the streets, and they were just working to get their family members out of there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you have private individuals funding rescue operations for people, you know that things are really bad. And, you know, was there some kind of deal made with the Taliban about arms and being left behind for their use? You know, I heard speculation that we were kind of arming the Taliban to fight the Chinese, who were going to try to come in and take it over. You know, you hear all kinds of different stories, and that's the problem with this world is so chaotic. You know, what is true, what isn't true, what is an operation, what isn't an operation. And then you look at the influence of AI and the deep fakes and the propaganda from the mainstream media. That's why discernment and critical thinking and going beyond the surface is so important for everybody in our country today. Don't just sit there and take everything at face value. You've got to be able to critically think. You've got to do proper risk assessment. You got to do really, the deep dive into things to really kind of get a good thought about where you think things might be going.
That's right. That's exactly right. Let's talk about your experience with that inspired the movie Black Hawk Down. I think people want to know that. Some people haven't seen the movie and others have, but can you tell us, and it doesn't always match the true life, it just inspires it. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Well, I'll tell you what I used to go around and speak, you know, to men's groups at churches and other churches and things like that. My experience, it was, I had a little come to Jesus meeting as a contractor working for the State Department. And when I got back to the States, I would tell people my story, and it simply was just my story. I'm not a religious guy, but I'm a firm believer in a relationship with God. And I learned three things. One is never underestimate your enemy. Always plan your contingencies more than one deep. And then be careful what we wish for. You might just get it. For me, first of all, I will be the guy to stand up and say, I'm not the best aviator in the world. I love the idea of what the unit was and the missions that we could perform. And I was very honored to call that unit home for, you know, 11 of my 20 years in the Army. I view myself as a guy that snuck in the door, got a chance to do a lot of great training and do a lot of stuff. And part of the natural processes, we got, you know, the 160th and other assets within the realm of the military are used as tools to accomplish a mission. In this case, the mission grew to the point where aviation assets were required to go into the Horn of Africa and Somalia back in the early 90s. And it was determined that Mohammed Farid ID was a bad guy that we needed to go after. You know, in my opinion, that day I would have said, just pick a warlord. you know, because everything was in chaos in the Horn of Africa. And you look at all the genocide that took place prior to the United States arrival and even afterward, and look at Somalia as a country now. I don't know that we did anybody any favors. But, you know, Task Force Ranger was stood up. It was about 500 folks. And, you know, we provided the aviation assets to try to help them accomplish a mission, which was to go after key players, to including Mohammed Farid Aidid. He was the head of the Habrageder clan in Somalia. And, you know, prior to October 3rd and what the whole everybody talks about, the Battle of the Black Sea, or what, you know, was been coined Black Hawk Down. We actually conducted, I think it was 7 or 8 missions that were fairly successful up until that point. And so, you know, the day of October 3rd, most of the time we had usually launched in the middle of the night. You know, the Night Stalkers, you know, there's a reason why we're called the Night Stalkers. We had a saying, death waits in the dark. That day, it just happened to be based on intel, and intel drove the train, and that was, it was a daytime operation. The Bakara Market area is kind of the vicinity where we went, which is a very just rough part of the town of Mogadishu, the city of Mogadishu. And so, therefore, there was a lot of arms and ammunition stuff just happened to be centrally located. And, you know, Osama bin Laden funded the RPGs and a lot of the weaponry, hoping to bring people to join jihad. They said, if we could bring down an American helicopter, we can embolden people to join jihad. And that's exactly, at the end of the day, that's exactly what happened. I just happened to be, out of 8 Black Hawks, I was one of 3. And I view this as God's grace that we did not take a single round. But, you know, we had, you had the result of, you know, Super 6-4 getting shot down. Mike Durant was held captive. Everybody has seen, saw that, you know, in prime time, in our news media. Ray Frank, Bill Cleveland, and Tommy Fields, his crew, were all killed. And then you had Cliff Walcott and Donovan Briley get shot down. And then you also had Randy Shugart and Gary Gordon, who were operators that were dropped off to try to help secure Durant's site, go in there voluntarily. And they asked several times to help. They finally acquiesced. It was the only help those guys could get at the time. Went in outnumbered and outgunned, and were posthumously awarded medals of honor for their efforts that day. And rightfully so, in my opinion. A lot of people hold, a lot of people want to talk about who they hold in high regard. You know, as far as humans go, I would say the guys that were on the ground fighting that day, the Rangers and the Task Force Green guys, I haven't seen a lot of those guys in a very long time, but they fought for their lives. They fought for their guy next to the left and right of them that day. And had it not been for the caliber and quality of the guy on the ground that day, in my opinion, I think the results could have been a lot worse than what had happened. We lost 18, and then a day or two later, we lost another gentleman from a mortar round that hit our base, but that was 19 KIA. And more wounded. But, you know, that's just kind of what happened in that situation. And I think we learned a lot from an urban standpoint, different things. Don't hang around in the objective area. Anywhere in the middle of an urban conflict, because just not a good place to be. Let the guys on the ground do their business. That's just kind of a shotgun blast. One over world there. I don't know if that hit the target you wanted to or not.
Well, no, I just wanted more information on it. What was your role that day or that situation?
Yeah, Super 6-7, we were one of 4 Blackhawks that when you had the guys go into the target, then we put a blocking force around that to kind of quarantine that area. And so I had Sergeant Eversman and his crew were on board Super 6-7, and we dropped them off and helped to establish that cordon around the objective area. And so it was his chalk. I actually had Blackburn fall out. It wasn't really according to the movie. He had missed the rope, and a couple other things were going on there. It was very chaotic, and, you know, it's Eversman and his guys, to the best of my knowledge, they were actually exfilled via trucks and not having to do the Mogadishu mile, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's never quite exactly the same. I mean, they inspired. That's why they use the word inspired. We were talking before that we got on, and you talked about situation awareness. And I think it applies to the world that we're living in today extremely well. And because we're in the middle of a war, it's a different kind of war, mm-hmm. Fifth generation war. Can you talk about what situation awareness is and then how it applies today? I think it's really important that people understand this. It's kind of what I've been, you know, we talked about with this, my whole series that I have right now, my docuseries on mind control and fifth generation warfare is really part of that situation awareness kind of feeling or attitude.
Right. Well, I'll try to give you, you could ask 20 different people and maybe get a different answer for that term from, you know, everybody. Situation awareness to me is an individual knowing themselves, knowing their environment, knowing the situation or the people that is an adversary. And I'm going to speak from a military term, and being aware of your surroundings, being aware of your capabilities, being aware of the enemy's capabilities, and knowing what your options are, and trying to make a good decision based upon good situational awareness. That could also be, you could take that same thing and apply it to you taking your family to the mall. You know, be situationally aware of your surroundings, where you're parking your car, what are you wearing? Are you wearing a lot of blingy jewelry and things like that? Are you trying to be a target? You could take that to any level. So it's always good to understand you, understand your surroundings, understand your own resources and what your capabilities are, and then applying them to the situation to see, based upon that, how do we mitigate risk? How do we make a decision and how we go forward? So with today's environment that we see ourselves, you talked about fifth generation war, is there's a lot of people. Let's just take our southern border, for example. You would think anybody coming to this country would welcome the idea of freedom and liberty and all that, and that everybody would have a perfect ideal of wanting to come to this country. Well, that's not true. So we need to be situationally aware that there are bad players entering our southern border, and they have very nefarious things in mind. And so, you know, as we go down and as we gain more information, our situational awareness should increase to where maybe we're going to limit our exposure to certain public events and certain public gatherings at some point based upon perceived threat, and making decisions based upon the gaining of that information. So if there's a lot of people in this country that still haven't woken up, and they think, you know, they're still worried about who won the basketball game or who's in what place in the American or National League, having no clue that we have people penetrating our southern borders with evil intent that is going to take place. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I would imagine it's going to happen between now or in the vicinity of our national elections. I think that's kind of a no-brainer, right? Mm-hmm. So those are the
something planned for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of my broad brush without getting too deep into what situational awareness is. And I think also keeping in mind that, you know, the second paragraph, there's five paragraphs in military op order: mission, enemy situation, execution, command, and signal service support. Enemy situation is understanding your enemy. As you gain more information, you understand them, understand their chain of command, how they're equipped, what's their probable course of enemy action, what is their morale like, and then, you know, what is their ethos? What do they believe? How committed are they to the fight? And when you have people in these elites or whatever that are Luciferian in nature, they will gladly see everybody in this country destroyed in order to stay in control, stay in power, and not be found guilty for a crime. So,
yeah, it doesn't matter whether you believe their religion, it's what they believe.
Right. And they will act upon their beliefs because they're convicted in it. Right.
Yeah.
That's just like a jihadist.
As crazy as it is, no matter what it is, as crazy as it is, that's why covering some of this Luciferian stuff that's just nuts, it's important for us to understand who they are to understand what they're capable of.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, I feel sorry for them because in my opinion, they're the guy or the girl that bought the fake Rolex from the guy under the bridge in Brooklyn. I believe in the Bible, and I believe it plainly says who won that battle and who's going to win. And I don't believe it's Lucifer and his forces.
Well, I think good always beats evil. Goodness in the end, but there can be a lot of, as you say, collateral damage along the way, which we want to minimize as much as possible.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of collateral damage. And if you look at it, not only from terms of an invasion or not an invasion, but attack, I say we've been infiltrated. We haven't been invaded because, like I say, things are too stupid to be stupid. You know, common sense does not reign supreme.
For sure.
The rule of law does not reign as the law of the land anymore. We see that in the two-tier justice system. And then you look at the things that are happening. So these things will take place. And I just got off track a little bit. So
no, that's okay.
You might have to rein me in here a little bit.
No, keep going. This is good.
Well, I forget where I was talking about.
Oh. Okay.
Hey, I'm good with that. I'm like the dog from the movie Up, Squirrel, and I go off into a tangent. So we just live in some really interesting times.
Well, let's talk about what you do, because I've done many documentaries on directed energy weapons, and they're pretty powerful. I think this is the future of mind control and military ops, and everything is these directed energy weapons. But the interesting thing is you took this technology and turned it into something, the application into something good that can actually keep lives from being, maintain lives, not kill as many people. Can you talk?
Well, it's actually not even a weapon. You know, the stuff.
Yeah, you don't even say it like that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I would just like to back up a little bit. You talk about the different things that we have at our disposal. This is me personally, and I have no evidence. I mean, everything today that I've said is pretty much speculation. Some of it's based upon, you know, I have traveled the world and done a lot of different things. But at the end of the day, I can't point to this person and say this, that, or the other thing and say this is a fact. But I will say this. If technology doubles every 18 months, and we've been working with, let's just take aviation, for example, is the best aviation asset we have out there based upon the F-35 that's fraught with all kind of issues? Yeah, there's a vectored thrust and all these other kind of things are working on. I find it hard to believe that we are still, the pinnacle of aviation is still 19. The jet engine was invented by the Nazis, I believe, right? And so since the 1940s, that's the pinnacle of what we can do in aviation.
Yeah, that's BS.
I just don't believe that.
No.
I believe that our science and technology, I believe there's a lot of things that have been accomplished that we have not seen. And you might see little glimpses of these, whatever they're triangle shaped things or whatever. And I'm not saying I'm not a
for sure
believer in the UFO from, I believe there could be multidimensional beings, but I don't believe in aliens from Alpha Centauri and all that other kind of stuff. I don't do it. I don't go down that path. I think it's more sinister than that, to be honest with you.
But regardless, think the technology and there's advanced UFOs, if you will, you believe. Go ahead.
We have tech. I am convinced that we have technologies that blow out of the water anything that we have. And they can either be in the form of space-based weapons or aviation assets or, you know, other things that go way beyond our capabilities to quite understand. And if they were revealed to us right now, I think a lot of jaws would be hitting the ground. So it'll be interesting to see what happens technology wise if the lid isn't kept clamped down. And maybe we'll see what happens in a future administration to see what's let out of the bag. You know, it'd be
they could easily do a PSYOP, not that they will, I don't know, that with UFOs and aliens. With what they have, I'm theorizing, but they could.
Well, you know, I don't want to go down too much of a dark
hole.
There's a lot of pastors actually talking about that, and I would just mention this. Well, how, you know, if you believe in a biblical worldview, And you look at 2 Thessalonians, where God says, I will send a deceiving spirit that they believe the lie. It's not the lies, it's one lie. I've always said to myself, if we have this very different world with atheists, agnostics, Buddhists, Hindus, Sikhs, Shintoism, Catholicism, Christianity, all the isms out there, and people who are Luciferian, right? How do you bring everybody into one cohesive unit that it talks about in the Bible? And Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton both mentioned these in speeches. What if we had an outside force or an outside entity show up? How soon could we unite the world as one? And who's to say the PSYOP isn't the fact that we present through AI, through various ways that we can project things into the air and all that? Who's to say that a well-orchestrated plan isn't the plan that actually gets everybody to think that we've been visited and that we need to change our way and we need to come together as a one world government?
Coming together and uniting so that we have peace is good, but coming together so they can control us is not.
Yeah. Well, the idea is good, but the fact is that view that the ends justify the means, right? So they're willing to do and say and have as much collateral damage as possible in order to get to the ends. And when the means are corruption and criminal and anti-human and anti-liberty, you know, there's the problem there, because
for sure
there are people out there that don't really want us to be free thinking and do anything on our own. So,
and they want to control, these Luciferian weirdos want to control all of us. So let's talk about your non-weapons.
Sure.
Because they're not, you don't like to say they're weapons because they don't kill people. They're powerful, but they work for police. You work with police forces, right? So what, tell us what you do. Because I really think this is good.
So I served as a time in the Army as a platoon leader, and I was a warrant officer. I retired as a warrant officer. And when I served that role as a platoon leader, my commander brought me in. He said, Nicholas, you can gripe and complain all you want, but if you come in my office griping and complaining, you better bring a suggestion or solution along with it. I said, Roger that, sir. And that's something I learned very early on in my Army career. So this is what we do. It's just a simple looking glove. It's actually part of a family of products that we call CD3 technology. And it's something we've been working on for over 10 years. And the initial inventor of these products is a guy by the name of Zhang, was raised a Shaolin monk, and decided he wasn't going to be a Shaolin monk anymore. And he joined the Chinese version of the DEA, fighting the triads, the same thing that we would fight in the southern border with human trafficking, drug trafficking, weapons trafficking, you name it.
Yep.
Was shot, cut, and stabbed. And he said, you know what? They're not going to change the rules of engagement. So he started a company. And believe it or not, the motto for that company was, the right to life is above all else. I never knew that there was companies with that kind of a mission statement before in China, but there's a lot of people that feel the same way. And
there's,
you know,
good people everywhere, right? I mean, it's good, every country.
Listen, I was in the military under different presidents that I totally did not agree with, right? And when they got elected in, I sat on my front porch and just stared into oblivion for a couple of hours until I finally realized, just suck it up. Yeah. Right? Because I knew that their agenda was not one that I would agree with. So there are people under every form of government that don't agree with it, and they want the same thing we do: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they do what they can in their space to try to help that. That's kind of what we did with Compliant Technologies, and that is, you know, I'm a firm believer, regardless of your political affiliation, I think we all want a better society, a safer society, and something that makes and provides solutions that work with everybody and their worldview. So our thought is, why can't we have safer communities and schools and hospitals and more orderly jails and prisons, but at the same time be able to protect those agencies that are trying to keep us safe, protect our officers, that agency's public image, and taxpayer dollars. At the end of the day, compliant technology, we make our money off the taxpayer. So we have to provide the taxpayer value added. I wouldn't want to be involved with it. So with this product, I'm an Army guy, so everything's got an acronym. CD3 stands for conductive distraction and de-escalation device. We use a small amount of current compared to any other device out there that stimulates through the epidermis. There's no current that goes into the body. It's strictly stimulating the skin that sends signals from the peripheral nervous system to the central nervous system. And the central nervous system is made up of the brain and spinal cord, which is your decision-making data storage and main trunk line of activity, electrical activity through the body. So we overstimulate that sense of touch and we get people to change behavior. If you want to see some videos, go to www.compliantechnologies.net and see some of our product videos or our social media posts.
You can pretty much take the most hardened criminal, 280-pound, 6'8" guy who is really violent, and you can shut him down instantly.
We had 150-pound, I won't name the agency, it was a 150-pound sergeant and an agency, I'll say the state of Virginia. And there's a guy that would not come out of a cell. And we're in a lot of corrections and we're in a lot of police departments and in hospital security and also juvenile detention. That's how safe our product is. So he made the comment, I'm not coming out. The 150-pound female sergeant went in there and he said, oh, they sent a woman to do a man's job. And a couple of seconds later, he's on his knees on the ground going, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And he left the cell. But the great thing about it was he wasn't injured. He complied with the officer and we go to move on for another day. And, you know, when I talk about protecting the officer in situations like this, it's not just about, hey, I made it another shift, right? It's about their future, their family, and their finances. You know, they want to seek life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They want to have a home and a family and stability and job security and all that. And why should they worry every day go in to work? Am I going to have my butt handed to me because of some guy with an attitude? And we've been able really to help that. We've been able to help officer morale, officer retention. And, you know, we're saving agencies. And I said it had to be a win-win. At a minimum, we're saving agencies 40% on officer injury, medical expense associated with that, inmate injury and the medical expense associated with that, subject injury out in the streets and the medical expense associated with that. And then there's the workers' comp claims for those officers. And there's also litigation. You know, we've had over 40,000 uses so far, no injuries, no lawsuits. Like I said before, we live in a litigious society. We're going to get sued eventually, right? The bottom line.
You will probably. Everybody does. Yeah. But you're keeping people from being killed while still accomplishing or helping them accomplishing what they need to accomplish.
Yeah. And we normally do that in less than 3 seconds.
Now, are they trained? I mean, they shouldn't be using this on somebody who's complying, right? I mean, this could be abused too.
Right. Yeah. So this glove, for example, you actually plug this in to a computer using our software, just put it on a desktop or laptop. It'll download the use. It's password protected. You're not able to, you know, get rid of the data. As a matter of fact, it's got an audit trail. If anybody were to delete any data, if you had the authority to, it would start another file saying this data was deleted this time by this individual. So you're not able to go in there and corrupt the database. So we talk about the decontamination with people that are different. You know, you're dealing with all kinds of people out in the street and jails with drugs and all kinds of stuff like that. And we pretty much address all that. We actually have a 4-hour fentanyl resistant glove that we provide for our corrections folks.
Oh, what does that do? How does that work?
Well, it's a nitrile glove. It's with a company we partnered with called Eagle Protect, where they're exclusive public safety provider for these gloves. And I like doing world class products, and we have a very niche market. We only have a few product lines, and it's all about what is best going to serve the officer and the best interest that creates a win win. And we have a glove that will stop fentanyl from penetrating through a glove for 4 hours. And, you know, fentanyl is not necessarily going to work through your skin, but if that officer had a cut on his hand or you know, a blister on his finger or something like that, it could affect him. And we also provide those gloves to police departments and things like that as well when they're doing vehicle searches or pat downs, because, you know, whether you're covered with fentanyl or not, these are really good gloves that help protect the officers when you're dealing with people. It's just like with our CD3 technology, these gloves are excellent for weapons retention, weapons transition, and they eliminate weapons confusion. Great example, if you remember the story for the field training officer that was in Brooklyn, Minnesota, you saw the video where she thought she had one tool. She really had her sidearm, and she ended up shooting the individual.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't, you know, listen, the guy had a warrant. He was known armed and dangerous. He was a parole violator. Should not have been given a hero's burial. You know, I say just obey the law, you know, and you're not going to get shot by a police officer. So he had a 45, it was underneath the passenger seat, and, you know, it was called slips and capture. Your mind does something, but your body does something else. So in her mind, she thought she had her taser. She said she did, but her subconscious is really saying, this dude's armed and dangerous, pull out the tool that you're going to need. More than likely, I'm not saying that's exactly what happened, but that's what the term slips and capture means, right? And so with you know, with the glove, she could have reached in there before he was able to start the car and get his hands on the wheel. She could have probably got him out of there, you know, could have, would have, should have, right? I mean, I'm not trying to be a Monday morning quarterback here. It just gives you an option. And you know, we have different, you know, people testifying to the fact that, you know, we're able to get people out of a vehicle much faster. We stop the wrestling when people are in prone resistance. You know, jails and prisons have a huge problem with people who are just belligerent and want to capture what's called the food cell, the food port. And if they cannot continue feeding the rest of the inmates until they get this guy squared away, and a lot of times they just want to cause trouble, and they hold the food port captive. Well, we've solved that. We solved that in about a second now. So
that's awesome.
The whole idea, I'm not interested in selling a bunch of product. I'm interested in fundamentally helping improve our relationship with our officers and corrections and law enforcement environment or police environments.
Well, and changing the mindset, right? Like, you're not, this isn't good. We're not going to hurt people. We're going to, everybody's going to be safe while we're still keeping an order and function.
Right. When we grab somebody with this tool, we're using 80% less current than any other device on the market. It leaves no burns, marks, or scars. It causes no injury. If you have a defibrillator or pacemaker on board, or you have epilepsy or neurological issue, can't affect it. We actually have nurses in some hospitals that were requesting to use these tools because they're so, listen, it's just a glove. And I'm not having to punch or shoot or spray or whack. I'm just grabbing you to get you to change behavior. And though they become very comfortable around the atmosphere because it's non-threatening and it's very low optics, right? So, and there's a lot of people that haven't heard about us, but we're gaining more and more notoriety as we go because we're adding agencies every week. Our uses are starting to go up exponentially, and people are seeing a difference in the outcome. And it's a positive. It's a positive thing. So this was my contribution. We don't sell these products to the public because I wouldn't sell them to MS-13, where they would grab
people,
where they could, you know, torture children, or you could, take somebody's money at the ATM or carjack somebody or kidnap somebody. It just makes doing nefarious things a lot easier. And I would not want to be, would not provide gloves to a civilian that used them on an officer. We won't even sell them to individually sworn officers. We sell them to the agencies only. It's really, even though it's a very safe product, we're very particular in whose hands we're putting these in because it is a very effective tool. It's patented. We're veteran owned. The electronics for some of our models are made right here in the Lexington, Kentucky area. And my whole thought process is we want to make, we have an international presence in about 9 countries, but we want to make the stuff in the United States, preferably made here. And our goal is to make all of our products here in the States at some point as we grow as a company.
Have you ever
thought about I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, just continuing on in your concept that that you keep it out of the hands of bad guys, have you had conversations of how do we, because this is such a wonderful application, right? It's so much better than anything that damages people. But have you had conversations of how do we keep it out of bad guys in the system? I mean, what do we do? Do they have procedures?
Well, we have a pretty thorough training that we go through. And we have four levels of training, actually: user instructor, agency master instructor, and advanced agency master instructor. Those are two-year certifications. And we talk in there that you will not use these products for belligerence, torture, horseplay, anything like that. And we tell people to avoid the use on the, you know, small children, elderly, severely handicapped, and pregnant women. Not that you can't. We just think that the optics on that are not good. And you don't want that for your agency. But the only thing that we can safeguard is we tell people that training is key, good decision-making, sound judgment, and keeping up with your training is imperative. At the end of the day, it's that agency is going to be, the litmus test is going to be on the command structure of any agency on who they give any tool to, you know, not just the glove. What about a sidearm? You know, or any other tool that you can inflict pain or
well, that's worse
to somebody, right?
Yeah. Well, that's so, worse. But keep going.
Yeah, but my point is this: you know, you can only do so much. At the end of the day, we all have individual responsibilities within our system, and it's imperative that the checks and balances within policy and procedure and agencies and leadership. And their willingness to hold people to the fire and accountability. Listen, being a law enforcement corrections officer in this nation, I think my hat's off to those guys for what they do. It's a very thankless job a lot of times, but without them, we would be camp run amok. And a lot of times where we're being held, our hands are being held behind our backs. Look at these major cities where it is camp run amok.
That's right.
You can see what happens when you take away the assets and the resources from law enforcement. And a lot of these guys are not putting up with this and they're leaving it. That's your biggest asset right there.
Well, and I'm in the Minneapolis area, right? We saw the precinct get burned down. We saw the morale is absolutely, you know, shattered.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and you know, that's, again, that falls in the line of being too stupid to be stupid, right?
Yeah.
Because when you take away the police, what insurance company? Because you're not going to have any firemen. And if they don't have protection, who's going to insure any of those buildings? You know, the laundry list, who's going to supply product, food staples into the middle of a city like that? They're cutting, you know, their own hand off to save their foot, so to speak. And it's just ridiculous. And we do need to have we need to have true leadership that is truly representative of the people and not a dictatorial system where you keep shoving things down people's throats and tell them that they're going to like it. And that is, I think our country is primed and ready for a good, peaceful, let's hope, exchange of power come January 2025.
If people are interested, if law enforcement agencies are interested, if correctional facilities are interested, or any of the institutions that you work with are interested, how do they reach you?
Well, it's real simple. Just you can email us at info@compliantechnologies.net, or our website is www.compliantechnologies.net. There's a whole bunch of resources there on our website. You can scroll down and watch videos and different interviews with people, check our products out. And if you want to get into our research portal, just email us. And it's password protected for people that want to do the deep dive. And we will give you the password to our research portal for you to check us out. But we have a very safe, complete medical testing and product testing technology that's aimed to help our society. That's my main mission as a founder of this company. I want us to be a positive influence for change in this nation. Like I said, my commander said, bring a suggestion or solution instead of just griping and complaining. And this has been a 10-year project, and we've been in business about 5 years trying to help effect a positive change.
That's absolutely excellent. Thank you so much for joining the program today. I think this was a wonderful conversation.
Well, Sarah, I'm very honored that you would have me on your program, and thank you so much for allowing me to come and just share a little bit about what's been going on and with our company and revisiting the past.